So go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew 9. So does anybody remember the game show? It ran from 1950 to 1967. It was called What's My Line? Anybody remember that? So I Googled some of the old one. Had Soupy Sales on there and some other people on there, you know, in their much younger years, of course. So the gist of the show was they would ask questions. They were allowed 10 strikes off the panel. I think there's a panel of five. So you would ask a question until you got a no answer. When you got a no answer, it went to the next person. And then, so the one I was watching this morning, the lady was a professional bowler, you know, so they were asking her questions and they didn't guess it. So they had 10 strikes for, they found out she was a professional bowler. Just a funny thing. There were just all kinds of different things in there. And one of the questions, one of the guys asked in it was, they asked what they were saying. He says, "How can I believe you and what you're saying?" It was, that's what he asked the person that they were trying to guess. And she says, "You can't." And they could, okay, strike. So today we're going to look at Jesus's question, and I put it up on the board. And so in this, Jesus ask two blind men a very important question concerning restoring their sight. And we're going to look at this. And again, as I keep saying all the time, these questions are in our Bible. These questions are recorded for us. And I want you to ask yourself these questions as we go through, as a participant, not as a spectator, when we read this scripture today. So I want to read again from Matthew 9, starting at verse 27. And Jesus went on from there. We'll talk about where there is at in a minute. Two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." So Son of David was one of the things that Jesus was called, as you remember, during this his period here on earth. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe," this is our question, "do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. So when we look at this question, it's, you know, you look at it and you think, obviously, oh, okay, Jesus just asking them to test their faith, right? So let's take this question and let's put a blank at the end of it, like I have up here. And I want you to look at your life right now, today, and ask that question. Do you believe that Jesus can? And fill in that blank. Whatever is important in your life right this very day, do you believe that Jesus can? Blank. So now then, if we look at the "what's my line" attitude, would you have a question to ask Jesus to determine if he could do that or not?
I wouldn't. I don't care what you're asking.
I agree with you, Marty. I agree with you. If you were sitting in first century Jerusalem, would you have asked him a question then? Yeah, I probably would have too, because we got a few thousand years of information beyond that, right? But sticking with this as we go through, the question that's asked here today, I don't think is really about whether Jesus can heal their blinded eyes or not. That's my personal opinion, all right? So now then, you know how much I like the Greek. So if you look at this in Greek, much like you look at it in Spanish for those teachers here, the verbs and the nouns sometimes get, almost always get opposite of the way we see them right now. So if you read this in the Greek in the order that it says, it actually says, "Do you believe?" Period. And then it says, can I do this? So the translation's a little bit off from the order that Greek is in. So the things in your life today that you'd put the blank in, you have to answer that question first. Do you believe? It's like Marty answered it a while ago. Whatever you put on that board, you'd believe. And I'm with you. Nothing's outside. On a day-to-day, though, in our day-to-day lives, is that statement always true in our hearts and our minds sometimes? And I'd question, no, it's not. Because there's times where you think, I've done this before, like, come on, Lord. Come on, please, come on. I was talking to Amanda Cole in here one day about some things going on in her life. And I said, the times in my life, sometimes that you stop a little bit and you go, Lord, if this is a test, it's what's going on right now, please let it be over soon. And I think we've all been at that point, right? I mean, there's things that happens in our lives. It's not that we don't believe, but sometimes it just, the faith just may not be as strong as it needs to be to get you to that point as we'll cross. Okay. One guy wrote this. He said, we see that that this started with the phrase as Jesus went on from there. What does there mean? All right. So if you have to go back in the early parts of chapter 9 to verse 18, and we see Jesus approached by a synagogue leader. Remember what happens with the synagogue leader? He kneels down before Jesus, wanting Jesus to come and heal his daughter who had just passed away, right? Jesus goes with him, puts his hand on her, and she lives. That could be there. It could be there where this is happening at. Then again, if we go back even further to the very beginning of chapter 9, we see another scene where Jesus heals a paralyzed man who was brought to Jesus by the friends of the paralyzed man. Remember him? Right? In Matthew 9:2, we read, Jesus saw their faith and the faith of those who brought him, the paralyzed man. Matthew 9:18. We read the synagogue leader knelt before Jesus' feet and declared that if Jesus came with him and laid his hand on his daughter, she would live. In both scenarios, people believed in Jesus, and their faith in Jesus is what healed. And Jesus makes that statement on multiple occasions, right? Because of your faith, this. Because of your faith, this. Do you believe? Do you believe that I can? Fill in that blank, right? So when we get to the passage today, Jesus asked the blind men if they believe. It's a bit different than the other healing passages. Jesus didn't ask the question to those approached him. Do you believe I'm able to do that? All right. Was Jesus asking them in a question? And why didn't he ask the same question to other people he healed? And it's not common for him to ask that question each time. Although he asked it, and you remember what he said by the to the guy at the pool of Bethsaida? We just looked at it a few weeks ago. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? So it's asking this right here. Do you believe I can do this? In your heart, do you believe I can do this? Okay. So what does it mean when he asks, do you believe? This lady wrote this. I thought it was pretty good. She says, the more I looked at this question, the more I thought about the question Jesus was asking, started to break it apart. I came across something pretty cool. She says, not that I'm a big language arts person, said I know that putting sentences together and I can identify what's wrong in the sentence to fix it. If we look at the first part of the question, we could actually be a standalone question. In other words, do you believe? Right? If we look at Jesus' question like this, we see it's not only is he asking the two blind men if they believe he's able to do it, but first and foremost, if they believe, do you believe? Although we may think that it's clear these men shout out and call out, Son of David, have mercy on me, the men are believers in Jesus. Just said, I think we remember from past lessons, this lady had referring to her pastor. She said that when we thought of the Messiah, this type of Messiah they're expecting what Jesus totally was. We talked about that last week, right? It's really easy to get caught up in a crowd, she goes on. She says to go with the flow and do the popular thing. But it's more important if we often check ourselves and see whether we're just going through the motions, in other words, going to church, going to volunteering to church, serving on teams, because we ought to, or because everyone else is, or because it's a fun thing to do, or whether we really are seeking after a relationship with Jesus in the things that we're doing. So if we are, that's great. But if not, she said, I encourage you to keep on doing these things, even though you're not seeking the relationship, because it actually puts you in the encounter with God. I thought that was pretty cool. All right. So the second part of this is, if you put yourself in these positions, these guys, have you ever felt that you were led to do something and it was just totally outside of what your norm is? Linda raised her hand. I've told this story 100 times after Randy passed. I scared to death because Randy had this class. I mean, this was Randy's class. And I taught every other week, or sometimes I'd do a series and I'd teach, but we typically have a reach. But Randy did the role. Randy sent out the emails. And it just, I was just kind of a sub teacher going in. And when Randy had passed on that Saturday, then the next week I saw David Franklin and had he and I were having lunch. And I told David, I'm thinking about just telling Joe they need to get somebody else to teach that class. And he said, why? I said, well, I'm not a teacher. I don't know what to do. And he looked at me and says, giddy up. Giddy up. You know, so sometimes we get put in situations. That was a situation I really didn't want to be in. I'll be honest with you. I did not want to be in that situation. And now I treasure it. I love doing what I do is teaching. And, you know, sometimes the rewards that we get from it is when you step off and stuff that you just, you're not real sure about. You know, and it's just like, you know, hey, Lord, yeah, I'm going to go do this, but I can't do it by myself. You know, I ain't real sure about this. And those are the things. Do you believe that I can fill in the blank?
Yeah, you're dead.
He was. Now I'm not free. Now I'm a Sunday school teacher.
Randy, you know, you and him, you know, traded out, and Randy, I
oh, yeah,
and how was wonderful too. So I just want you to stop that.
Thank you, honey. I appreciate that.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. So now then, when you look at the last part of this sentence, and that Matthew recorded, what is this? What is this that Jesus refers to? And when you look at it, you think, okay, he's asking them about, you know, restoring their sight. I mean, that's why they're there. That's what they've come to him for. That's the question they have to him. And Jesus asks, do you believe that I can do this? Why would he ask that question? Do you believe that I can do this?
Mm-hmm.
You think we get tested on our faith? Oh boy. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. You know, and we as humans have this inert thing in us that wants to fix all this stuff by ourselves. And I think the men that's in this room will tell you we're the worst ones about this. When something goes wrong in my house or my family, I want to fix it. I want to fix it. I want to fix it right then and there, right then and there. I don't want to wait. I want to fix it right then and there. And lots of times we forget that this is a partnership that we're in on this earth. And this is a walk with God. And when we leave him out of these things, that's not a good test of faith, is it? Because we do that. And that's this human side of us that does this. So back in the day of Palestine, blindness was very common and a very distressing disease. I didn't know this. See, they said that people knew nothing of the importance of cleanliness and hygiene. In particular, the unclean flies carried an infection which led to the loss of sight. I did not know that. It says blindness often came upon people because lack of cleanliness. Blindness didn't have a physical ramification for people. It had a spiritual one as well. In the Old Testament, being without sight meant that someone was impure, unclean, and defiled, according to Leviticus 21:20. So the Lord spoke to Moses and about Aaron's offspring who cannot enter the Holy of Holies, but those who are blind are listed as those with the defects are not allowed to offer food, approach the curtain and the altar, because they're therefore desecrated. But Isaiah turns around, and in Isaiah 35, it says, God will establish a highway called the Way of Holiness, and the unclean will not journey on it. On this highway, this is what he says. The eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame will leap like deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy. So Jesus healing the two blind men now fulfills Isaiah's prophecy about Jesus, right? Jesus is not just asking, do you believe I can make you physically whole, but do you believe I can restore you and make you pure and clean? Because remember, based on what the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, these people were unclean. Unclean people. So now then, do you believe that I can not only restore your sight, but it will it restore you to an acceptable status with God?
It's two different things.
Two totally different things.
Because there's no question. Just by acceptance, he will make you clean. It does not mean he will heal you. Do you believe I am able? Absolutely. Do you believe I will?
I appreciate you mentioning that, because that's what I've been wrestling with throughout this whole class, is I 100% believe God can do anything he wants. I just don't know that he will. And for me, it's my four children. I have four unsaved children.
Go ahead. That's what we're here for.
I don't know.
We know that.
You all know that. Jesus said, God said, by his stripes we are healed.
Before you go on, which way are we healed?
What do you mean, which way are we healed?
What are you healed by with his stripes?
You're healed by Christ, I believe you're healed by the Holy Spirit that he has sent to us now.
So we're saved.
We are saved, yes. But I also believe it is actually physical healing, not just health, but there's a lot more things that we need to be healed from. So, I mean, I believe it's more, there's more to it than just health.
So what did Paul say? Go ahead.
He says, if you ask your father for bread, will he give you a stone? If you ask believing, he will answer.
But will it always be the way we want it to be answered?
Absolutely.
For healing, he's not going to give you more sickness. I truly believe that.
So hang on to that. I'm going to come back to that here just in a few minutes. All right. So what did Paul say about the thorn in his side? Remember that? So his prayer was to what? What was his answer? No. Was Paul healed spiritually? No. Was he healed physically? No. I'll come back to that here just in a minute. All right? We may not be blind in the need of physically, but we may be blind to something else. May we're blind to really, truly knowing who Jesus is and what is meant for us to follow him. Maybe we're blind to knowing that Jesus can take us where we are right this very moment, despite the past we may have, and make something beautiful out of it. What goes in your blank? Do you believe that I'm able to heal you? Do you believe I love you? Do you believe I will be with you? Do you believe I'm enough? Jesus says, knock and the door will open. So if you today, everybody in here, if somebody today believes in their heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to this earth, he lived a sinless life, He died on a cross for us. He was put in a grave. On the third day, he rose and sits beside the Father. If you believe in that, you will be what? Saved. That's a promise, right? That's a promise that was made to us. It doesn't say that the thorn's going to be out of your side. It doesn't say that your limp's going to be taken away. It doesn't say the fact that if you have polio, that your bones will be healed. But it says you'll be saved.
The Lord had spiritually, aren't you therefore given the covenant or the ability to deal with the health of this?
You know, that's interesting. There was several of the commentaries that I read, and this wasn't John MacArthur this time, by the way, but I read him a lot. But he was talking about kind of the line that Debbie was going through a while ago about as you ask to be healed and you go through, and he was talking about the same thing, that our promise in the Bible is to be healed spiritually. That's the promise that we have. And he said, if you had a physical ailment, and he went on, he listed a whole bunch of them. If you have a physical ailment, whatever that physical ailment is, and says you were a child of God, you were saved, and you prayed to have that healed, and it never was healed, then did God let you down? But on earth, but on earth, if you were not healed, then did God let you down? No, he didn't, because that part's not promised. And you can go through. Moses had a speech impediment. You know, I mean, Paul was a short guy that was almost blind, or possibly was blind by the time he passed away, because he was having Luke, you know, do a lot of the writing for him. So there was things that goes on that we may not be healed from. Right?
That was one of the things that Phil thought was so powerful about Michael. Bill and I had presumed that Michael, if this was a birth, we didn't know that it was when he was a teenager.
Correct.
So he went from this very strong, athletically gifted young man. And I don't know if his was a progressive divorce, or if basically his condition when he passed was pretty much how he was from after the accident. But I could see, and I don't know if maybe Michael did go through a time of illness. I could certainly understand it, and anger and all this stuff. But if he did, and I'm not saying he ever did, he obviously came through it. And that's what Bill considered Michael such an incredible.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially, you know, did the lesson of Pepsi, things like that. And that's why Bill wanted to talk to him about Michael at the last Pepsi, because people had seen him and they may not have known. You know, so.
I agree 100%. And, you know, lots of us have things going on in our lives that we don't make public, that we don't announce, that we don't do whatever for, and there's struggles sometimes. And when we have these struggles, and it's difficult sometimes to talk about them, or it's difficult to deal with it or someone like that. One person may not know what the other person's struggles are.
That's why we need to share our story, because we all have stories. And that's where when you feel safe here, when you feel safe, when you can share your story.
Yeah.
Because that gives him glory. Allows him to show his power and who he is, and makes a person.
Absolutely. These are questions I just mentioned. They're struggles to answer, and that's okay. It's okay to wrestle with our faith or test our faith and see perhaps our faith isn't so strong as we think it'd be sometimes. When we approach Jesus, we need to be ready for what Jesus asked us, of which comes out more often we believe and trust in Jesus. We see an example of this in Matthew 19:16-22. This is a story of the rich man. So remember what the rich man did? So the rich man comes to Jesus. All right. This is the exchange. Why do you ask me what is good? Jesus asked him. There's only one who is good. And if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He inquired. Jesus replied, you should not murder, you should not commit adultery, not steal, give false testimony, honor your father and the mother, love your neighbors yourself. His response is, all these things I kept, said the young man. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give it to the poor and you'll have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he was sad and went away because he had great wealth. Only person recorded in the Bible that went to Jesus and left sad and unchanged. Right. Too much to do. So, so sometimes, you know, I have a t-shirt that I got at the Masters one year, the Masters water ski tournament, and one of the, past ski, champions down there now has a ministry, and they do a lot in the ski world for their ministry. And they have a shirt, and it says, get off the dock. And I thought that was pretty good. Anyway, and their thing was, is they're saying is in his wakes. And they talk about, she talks about a lot of times that one of the things when you look at water skiing, and it could be any sport really, but about water skiing is water skiing has this level of fear that you have to overcome and able to be able to do the sport. And lots of sports are like that. I used to get so tickled at McKenna. I said, well, you know, for her first 14, 15 years of life, she spent more time walking on her hands than she did walking on her feet. And she would do things. I'm like, I ain't no way I could do that. So these things that we do lots of times in these activities we have to have this courage to do them, right? We have to have the courage. We have to get off the dock to do these. Sometimes that's true with our walk with Jesus, right? Sometimes it takes courage to go ask these things or to talk about these things, right? It takes courage to share these things and to do these things. So this one lady was talking about, she said they had a young adults group. And she said this young adults group, they had this thing, what they call friends dating. And she said it was a way to get the kids to meet. Said what they would do is they would get in a circle. They would pair up and, you know, have, you know, odd and even, odd and even, odd and even. And this person that was odd would ask the even person, they were allowed 5 questions to ask that person to get the answers. And then they would go to the next person and you'd have 5, and they had like 30 questions you could ask. And it was, you had to get 5 questions out of this 30 that you could ask. And she says, one of the funniest things was when you would see siblings in there doing this and the siblings would ask the other sibling a question. And they would go half the time, they go, I didn't know that. I didn't know you like that. I didn't know you were that way. So the point was, she said, you know, when we get to know people, we have to get to know people for who they are. And she says, do you know Jesus for who he is? Do you truly know him for who he is? Do you believe that I can do this? Is that the belief you're in? Huh? She goes on and she writes, she says, I think this is what can keep us from being all in with Jesus, trusting fully in him and believing him. We're not ready to be uncomfortable, to give up control of a situation or give up our possessions, our lifestyle, our reputation with friends, maybe even our friends all in all. Maybe we're still holding on to one thing or another, a floaty or dipping our feet in the water, but we're not willing to go all the way. Do you believe I am able to do this?
I have one more thing to say about
that. Go ahead.
Do you believe I am able to heal you? Answer that question if you were asking Jesus that.
If I ask Jesus,
if Jesus is saying, do you believe I am able to heal you?
Yes. Now, the next question is got to be healed. Yeah. 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 So you have to be referencing something when you say that. Yeah. Yeah.
Reference will heal you.
Yes. Yes. I think whatever you put in that blank, he can do.
Yes.
Now,
that solidifies my answer.
So now then, back to what was up for.
It's about believing.
Oh, it is. It is. I'm not sure I say this right. Do I believe that Jesus can do whatever you put in that blank? Yes, I do. Back to Marty's statement earlier. You put whatever you want to in there, and I believe he can do that. The next question is it in his will?
That's his, by your stripes, by my stripes, you are healed. Say, if it's my will, you will be healed.
Yeah.
It says, you will.
Yeah, and to me, that reference is a salvation healing. That's my interpretation of that. That's a salvation healing. That through his stripes and the fact that he died on the cross for our sins, through that is our justification, or he paid the price for us to be saved for our sins.
I'm done.
No.
I think what you're saying is that God is going to heal us in his perfect plan. The problem is our perspective on that God's perfect plan. You know, and the example I've used is if we go and stand on Lookout Mountain, we see, what, 8 states? And that's our perspective. But what's God holding the palm of his hand?
Yeah.
The whole world. That's his perspective. And we may think that from our minute perspective, which is maybe the point of being, I'm talking about a sowing meeting. Maybe that might be our perspective. But from God's perspective, we might not need him, because he's got something a whole lot bigger and better for us planned.
Yeah. And I'll go back to Melanie's earlier about Mike Castile. A, in my heart, I believe Mike Castillo was healed spiritually. Yes. Was he healed physically on this earth? No. Do I think he's healed now? Yes. Yes, I do. And that's the belief that I have on what God's promised us. And David Jeremiah says one thing I always really interested. He says, when you read the Bible, and a lot of people look at the Old Testament prophecies, they don't look at what Jesus says as prophecies, but it is, right? But anything, any prophecy, anything that's labeled prophecy is God's promise. That's what prophecy is. It's God's promise to us, and his promises us that we will be healed. We will be healed. So I want to close real quick. One of the ladies wrote, she says, I'm not sure what your faith is today. I hope you've been challenged with your faith and been strengthened, at least helped you see where your faith stands, whether it is little or large. As we go out today, may the words from James 1:2-4 encourage you. And this is what it says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, that perseverance finishes work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. So as a close day, you know, I wouldn't believe sometimes when I work on these lessons, and I'll write something down, and then I'll sit there for like 20 minutes and think about it. That's why it takes me so long to do a lesson, I think. But, you know, to me, is when we ask these questions that Jesus asked for ourselves, do you believe I can do that? And yes, I do. Yes, I do. Whatever that is, yes, I do. Thank you, Lord. But yes, I do. Thoughts, comments?
I don't mean to bring this. I mean, I know we're running late, but I guess what that question brought to me from the very get-go was very hard for me, because I'm looking at it two ways. You can talk about, yes, the physical aspects. If someone has some physical malady or something like that, that's one issue. My other issue is if someone you love is in a situation that is not pretty good.
could